Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It's a privilege to be here for this service of dedication, baptism, confirmation and reception. So much to be thankful for. Parents and godparents promising to bring Maria up in the faith. Those being baptised as adults and teenagers. Those confirming the promises yourself that were made at your baptism on your behalf. It's all about saying yes. Yes, I want to belong to the church. I want to stand up for what I believe. It's very significant that you get to come and stand up. It's saying yes to Jesus' call to follow him on your journey through life. And those received were saying, yes, at this stage of my journey, I want to live out those promises, those baptismal promises, as part of the Anglican Church and specifically here at Deep Creek. Each of you will have your own story. Your own story of what is good, of what God is doing for you and what God wants for you. We heard particularly some of what God is doing for you. It's such a privilege to hear. And there will be more of what God wants for you. Ephesians is a great letter to be reading or to be starting today. Because Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, fits our stories of conversion, converting to Jesus, putting our faith in Jesus, our stories of spiritual life, obedience, and hope. It puts our stories into God's larger story. And that gives our stories so much more interest, importance, and significance. And not just our individual stories, but our story as a church here at St. Philip's Deep Creek and as a diocese, what it means for us now to live out our mission to make the Word of God fully known. That Paul's letter to the Ephesians helps us see the big perspective, God's perspective, what God is doing for us and what God wants for us. And most importantly, it speaks to us of God's grace and God's power. God's grace and God's power. And both those themes, God's grace and God's power, are found in chapter 1. We see God's grace, especially in the part we heard read, verses 1 to 14. Paul's prayer of thanks for all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. How God has blessed us, in other words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're not talking about small B blessings, but big B blessings. We see God's power in the way Paul prays for the Ephesians in the second part of the chapter, and that's what I'll conclude with this morning. Because pride of place in the opening of this letter goes to a long and quite formal prayer of thanks and praise to God, focusing on God's grace. Verses 4 to 6 celebrate the fact that God's people in Christ are chosen by grace. It can shock some people, including Christians. How can God choose some and not others? How can being a follower of Jesus Christ be a matter of God's prior decision, overriding any decision or freedom of our own? Today we have heard these people say, I turn to Christ. Yet what Paul is emphasising here in Ephesians is that God didn't wait around for any of you to get your act together. So, yep, today you've got your act together, you've stood up, you said, I turn to Christ. But God didn't wait around for you. God was working already. God has chosen us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Everything we have is a gift of God's grace. And in the next chapter, he will declare that before this grace reached down to us, we were dead and needing to be made alive. That's what baptism is such a powerful symbol of. Only God could rescue us, and God has. What are the particular blessings found in Christ? Verse 7, redemption. Verse 12, our inheritance being made God's possession. Verse 13, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, I talked all about that a lot more in detail at 8 o'clock, but I am aware of the time. So I particularly want to focus on, yep, just Christ redeems us. It's in Christ that we're made God's inheritance, and it's in Christ that we've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I want to particularly focus on that last one today, because that's what we're particularly praying for today. The Spirit is to the Christian and the church the powerful personal presence of the living God. Holy and not to be taken lightly, leading and guiding us to our inheritance. So baptism with water is a sign of the new birth in the Spirit, the sign that we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit in Christ. Death, life out of death. We go through the waters of death into the life of Christ in the Spirit. But the Spirit is more than just a leader and guide. The Spirit is actually part of the promised inheritance, because the Spirit is God's own presence, which in the new creation will be fully and personally with us forever. It's with the Holy Spirit that God seals us in Christ, marking us out, stamping us with God's official seal. In the world of computers, we hardly know what that means. But, you know, if you go back to olden days of ink and things like that, people would use their ring to press in a seal. It's partly why bishops wear rings, I think, to press the seal for a license sort of thing. And when Paul was talking, that's basically how people signed their names. So it's the idea, a sign of ownership. It's a sign of authenticity. As the people in the present, you and I, anyone here baptized into Christ, as the people in the present who are guaranteed to inherit God's new world, like the deposit on a house or a car or a piece of clothing, whatever, the first installment of the purchase price. The Holy Spirit is the first installment, a foretaste of what is to come. And as I said, it's what baptism with water is a sign of. And this morning, I've prayed specifically for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, for the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. God choosing this service of dedication, baptism, confirmation, and reception, they are not an end in itself. It's the beginning or a key moment. Our salvation in Christ is a vital stage, but only a stage on the way to the much larger purpose of God, which is for the whole cosmos, the entire universe, to be united in Christ. We are not chosen, destined in love to be God's children for our own sake, but for the sake of what God wants to accomplish through us as ambassadors for Christ. As I said, God's purpose is to unite all things in Christ, and we are part of that as we live and bring others to the praise of God's glory. Worth remembering this morning after the referendum. Worth remembering as we continue to hear and pray for the conflict that's unfolded in the Middle East this week and the many conflicts that continue around our world. So important that we continue to pray for and to work for reconciliation. In Christ. Two words, I think it's a phrase, but I won't go to the wall on that, which occurs over and over in this chapter. Go home and count up how many times it comes through. In Christ. It's in Christ that God has blessed us. Everything God has done for us, everything God looks to do in and through you, everything in this whole plan of salvation, this bird's eye view, God has done in and through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, in other words. So Christ, Greek word for the Messiah, and it was the kings in Israel who were anointed. And they were anointed to be God's representative. So Jesus Christ in his baptism was anointed. And that's really significant because that's how we understand these words in Christ. Christ represents us, you and I, his people. What happens to Jesus, what is true of Jesus, is true of us. Jesus Christ won the victory, and if we are in him, in the King, in the Messiah, in Christ, it's not just Jesus' last name, it's actually saying who he is. We discover step by step what that means. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a member of his church, then don't forget, take hold of the fact that each and every one of you here have access, have full access to the power of Jesus Christ. Grace, much to be thankful for, and we have the gift, access to the power of Jesus Christ through his Spirit. Paul wrote this letter from prison. He wrote in praise of the God who has set us free, in praise of God's grace. There was much that could have overwhelmed him, but he wrote trusting in God's power. What God did in Christ was a reality for Paul. Let it be a reality for us. And let's pray this especially for those who have been baptized, confirmed, received, and for Maria as she comes to do that herself. But let's be praying especially for those baptized, confirmed, and received today in the words of Paul. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.